Right.
Bandwidth, are you having a bandwidth problem, Lorraine? Can we see your picture?
I can't see the picture, but I am on another device, so let me just change okay. devices.
Okay. Proceed.
Is the audio better?
Sure.
Yeah, so from in terms of the time frame, as soon as we can finalize the issues relating to the legal opinion, then we do have a draft document. We can reconvene the steering committee and then go look at the process to adopt the revised HOA. So I think the in terms of the time frames, the sooner we can resolve the legal matters, the quicker we can move forward. So we certainly want to move forward as fast as possible, and I can see that we can in the next few months resolve some of these legal issues and then get the agreement to a state that we can discuss it internally with our political principles. And then there was also a question from Honorable Bryant relating to the nomination of the Park Forum representatives. And that report is in draft and will serve at council either in May or in June. So we should have our representatives appointed soon as well. I think the other questions were more related, were more for Sandparks directly. So I would then hand back to you, Chairperson, in case there's further input from Sandparks.
Sandparks, any input from your side?
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson and members, and councillors in attendance and other colleagues. I think I would echo the city's approach on this, and that is the need for collaboration between ourselves as Sandparks and the city on some of these matters. And in so far as that is the case, I think, Chair, we would like to be given an opportunity to just look at some of the concerns that the city seems to have, that that other than issues related to the heads of agreement, that there might be of concern to the city, so that we work together on these matters. So I would commit that from the board side we will undertake that. Secondly, Chair, with regards to the other questions, I would ask the officials to respond to the acting CEO on the issues of the concession, the hotel, as requested, as asked by the Honourable Singh, and then the conservation issues. I think between Dr. Ziba and Mr. Mukwena, if they can respond to that. And I think the issues relating to the heads of agreement and finalization, the city has responded to. And I'm not sure. And then I think the issue of the land that you raised, Chair, I think the city can respond to. But if there's anything left, Chairperson, I'm happy to come back.
Okay. And I see the alderman is already making a commitment to talk to you, Chairperson of Sandparks. Mr. Mukwena?
So thank you, Chair, and thanks for the questions. I think the hotel question will be dealt with by acting CEO, but safe to say that it is a triple P request for the development in the Apost Battery in Table Mountain. It's a site which has military history, and it is zoned as a mixed use, which means that development will fit with that site. And the other question around all conservation functions were taken to SANParks definitely is correct. All conservation functions were taken by SANParks. But I think when you now talk the baboon issue, it means all conservation functions within the boundaries of SANParks. Our baboon populations are more in the Cape Point area, which is indeed fence area, as the member has sort of alluded. While maybe I'm on that one, I may as well just comment to say the responsibility to maintain that fence is the responsibility of South African National Park and Table Mountain. So it's not the responsibility of someone else. If that fence is in a bad condition, it's our duty. If it's in a good condition, it's our duty to make sure that it stays sort of intact. And the issue of security, I think the member is spot on in terms of safety in the mountain, because you can access Table Mountain at any given site, at any given area. But we have just recently now created or launched the so-called SIM team, which is a team of 18 committed members who are trained on sea and air and mountain rescue work. We have seen results. We are even making sure that in the areas when we think it's peak areas for poaching, we deploy resources such as helicopters to assist in doing law enforcement there or rescuing people who get lost in the mountain. But I must say that work we can only deal with or be successful if we do it jointly, either with the city and the community at large. And there was a question around the Park Forum. The Park Forum was launched and was formed, and we must note that this Park Forum comes from the engagement which the minister had with the stakeholders in Table Mountain some time ago. One of the tasks was to establish a Park Forum, but I must say we just learned now that the chairperson of the Park Forum has just resigned. However, we are starting a process to make sure that we support that forum and we sort of help it to function in its optima. And lastly, I think there was a question around the number of hectares which was supposed to be transferred or which is yet to be transferred. It's around 16 hectares. I think I've mentioned it in the presentation. I would like to end the chair. Both maybe Dr. Tsiba and the acting CEO can sort of add. Thank you very much.
Dr. Tsiba, then will be followed by the acting CEO.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to you and the honourable members, the honourable minister, the chairs, and the members from City Council, as well as colleagues. I think, Chair, I will address the questions that relate to human-wildlife conflict, and mainly around the baboons. Mr. Mukwena mentioned the fact that we have baboon populations on both SANParks land and also land that either belongs to the city or private land. And I think one of the key issues that we have mentioned is the fact that whereas there are challenges with regards to management of baboons, particularly because of opposition to some of the methods that are non-lethal methods for basically trying to ensure that baboons stay away from residential areas. We realize that the challenge of a growing baboon population in the Cape puts pressure on various troops and sometimes might push them to seek easily accessible food in the city surrounds. But I think our proposal, and I think it is covered in the discussions that we are having with the city around the conservation working group, is that we need to establish cooperation between ourselves, the city, and Cape Nature around managing baboons, and that cooperative approach or an integrated approach to managing baboons would ensure that we are not shifting blame between the different agencies, but rather we cooperate, because baboons inside the park are the responsibility of Sun Parks. But once they leave the boundaries of the park, they become a provincial responsibility. And so, but, you know, baboons are moving between inside and outside the park. And so we do need to work together in order to ensure that we achieve meaningful management of the baboon population and try our best to reduce human wildlife conflict, while at the same time ensuring that baboons are managed ethically and in a humane manner. I think there was also a question around marine protected areas. The marine protected areas are the are given, or the table, I mean, the Robben Island marine protected area in particular, like which basically is the one that the city, or that interfaces between sea, land, which part belongs to the city or is managed by the city, as well as the mountain or the national park, has been assigned to Sun Parks as a management authority. We have just completed an operational plan for the Table Mountain, for the Robben Island marine protected area, as well as marine protected areas in Ado and Namakwa. And we are hoping that some of the work that relates to the responsibilities for managing marine protected areas can be basically executed in such a way that the conservation outcomes can be achieved. But we're also aware of the fact that some of the illegal activities, such as poaching of abalone, happen in areas, that are around, that are in the marine protected area. We, as Mr. Mukwana alluded to, that the rescue team that is, has been established works quite closely with law enforcement in the city. And there is a lot of sharing of information between city law enforcement, Sun Parks rangers and security, as well as SARPs, in an integrated way to ensure that some of the issues relating to illegal activities in the marine area are addressed accordingly. And similarly with issues that relate to illegal harvesting of plants in the park, when city officials, law enforcement officials or SARPs find or catch those, they report, and similarly Sun Parks manages those as best as we can to ensure that we minimize impact. We work very closely with Alderman Smith, JP Smith, and the team that he is leading, and there's a lot of sharing of information as part of ensuring that wildlife crime is reduced and possibly eliminated in the national park. I will stop there, Chair, and maybe request that the CEO can complete the other questions.
Good morning and good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, members of Parliament, our Minister, as well as our Board Chairperson and Chair of the Assistance Committee. Honorable Singh, on the question that you asked, yes, it's correct. We went out on an open tender requesting for proposal in the market for our PPP, which is part of our commercialization strategy. And in this particular PPP, we requested for bidders to help Sun Park to make a development. And this development is in relation of building about 21 luxury rooms in a hotel. And the projected investment is expected to be about 65 million. We have a preferred bidder, which has been regular according to our internal SCM processes. However, we are concluding all our internal processes in order to make a formal announcement on this particular item. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO. Alderman Andrews.
Chair, thank you so much for indulging me. Thank you so much, Chair, for
can
indulging me.
Can we see you as well?
Yes, I can do that. Chair, let me just, where am I going? Here we go. There we go. So the video is starting. Chair, the thank you for indulging me again. So I just got three very specific questions. Just so that when I leave here, I have the clarity and from our partners. So with regards to the, and thank you for the remark early on in terms of that the baboons in Sand Park's reserves would remain their responsibility. But would this be all the baboons and not just the baboons in Cape Point? And then also, Chair, the comment is noted that once the baboon moves into the urban areas, then the obligation changes ever so slightly. However, Chair, the clarity sought there is, or we need to look at what could be done to ensure the baboon stays in the natural habitat. I think that ultimately is the question, and there are quite a few humane options that I think can be considered. So that's just the one clarity there. And then, Chair, from our side, and again, just to the point that I raised early on, in terms of operationally, we improve on the relations there. I think also that we need to see with all the income derived from the Table Mountain National Park, how much of that is reinvested back into the park? I think that will really be quite useful, not just for us, information for us in the city of Cape Town, but also of interest to yourselves as committee members who have oversight over this particular program also. So thank you, Chair. Those are my only questions that I, my final questions I see, Kai, that you're on.
I think on that one as well, Chairperson of Sandparks and the senior management team, it then shows us the need for you to reach out with the new city management. As you can see now, there are new bosses there. That's why on matters like this, I think these are the matters as and when. I'm not barring them to respond, but you can see there's a need to interact with the new leadership of the city on these matters. Then let me allow first Honorable Singh and Honorable Phillips, then the chair will come and the minister will come. Honorable Singh, followed by Honorable Phillips, then the chair will come and the minister will come at the end.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Mine is not a question, but a comment on the response by the CEO with regard to the concession and the triple P that is being considered. I mean, we who've just returned from Nairobi have seen how a game park and a city can live side by side. I just hope that all three spheres of government have been adequately consulted on this proposal as we move forward, and that the proposal should not be something that wants to sort out our financial woes, but it must be based on both the environment, protection of the environment, and possibly financial considerations along the way. So that's the only comment, and I trust that we as a committee will be kept briefed as this project or the application for this project proceeds. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Singh. Honorable Phillips.
Thank you so much, Chair. Yes, I'd just like to ask about some of the comments on the baboons. And the first one is, many of the baboon troops don't just originate in Cape Point, but they actually do originate in Table Mountain National Park, and then they go into the built-up areas. So it's not just Cape Point. And then the other comment I'd just like some clarity on is that the baboons become a provincial responsibility when they leave the park. But when animal problem-causing or human wildlife conflict occurs in Mpumalanga, for instance, because of animals leaving Kruger National Park, Kruger National Park and Sandparks are actually the people that then deal with their conflict. They don't push it on to the provincial government. So I just would like some clarity on why this changes in the case of the Western Province government. Thank you so much.
Before I allow the chairperson of SANPARK. I think I saw the hand of Mr. Barth, if not Mr. Herber, which was up. You wanted to say something?
Honorable Chair, thank you. It's yes. Ernst Barth here. I will... ...in terms of the provincial part of things, but I would like to just stand down for a moment. Thank you.
You have to say something.
That's fine. Ma'am. So thank you. Thank you very much. If I will be very brief, Madam Chair. Thank you for that opportunity. I would like to make it put it on the record.
We were seeing you nicely earlier. What happened to your camera?
My camera is still here, ma'am. Thank you very much. So very briefly, Madam Chair, I would like to. Just put on the record that in terms of the Western Cape situation, as far as the baboon conservation and the management of baboons under our current laws is concerned, we have the Nature Conservation Ordinance as well as the new Biodiversity Act that has been consented to by the Premier. So within that legal framework, Cape Nature as the provincial conservation agency, we have the following responsibilities, which is first of all policy formulation, law making, the making of laws, and then of course a very important issue is the compliance and enforcement part of baboons in this case particular. But remember, Honorable Chair, human wildlife conflict happens right across the landscape of Southern Africa and the world, in fact, so it is a big issue. So when there are baboon problems off nature, off the sand parks properties and so on, like we are doing at the moment, we are investigating a number of human wildlife conflict incidents, allegedly illegal incidents under our ordinance, which is the ruling law and so on. So we're not shirking that responsibility. And then, of course, conservation of baboons under our laws is obviously important as a species. We do the conservation of baboons, generally speaking, and then in collaboration with many local authorities, Chair, at the moment, in Plettenberg Bay, Naisna, in the Overstrand, City of Cape Town, even up to Piketberg areas, we are doing a lot of awareness raising in partnership with local authorities as well as management advice, which City of Cape Town could confirm as well, is that we are in constant collaboration and also engagements about this. So under these laws, Honorable Chair, I'd like to just say that Cape Nature at this stage do not have any obligation to keep baboons out of urban areas. I think that's maybe where some of the interpretation will come in. Waste management, which for example, very important, which lies at the basis of human wildlife, much of human wildlife conflict, especially primates and other animals, as well as fencing. So those are is outside of the provincial conservation mandate as far as we are concerned. And for us, the important issue, ma'am, and that is with how we have been engaging with City of Cape Town on the matter, is that the management, note the management of nuisance animals, as well as the management of the health and safety of residents, is for us a local authority mandate, if I can put it that way. And within that sphere, that is where I believe also that Dr. Jiba has also mentioned, is I think therein lies the cooperative governance of human wildlife baboons on the Cape Peninsula. So ma'am, thank you very much. I do believe that also from our side, we propose and we support an integrated approach to baboon management, specifically within and outside of the urban area. And ma'am, I think you also mentioned, or somebody else mentioned it, it is within the urban area where baboons are at the highest risk. That is where they die, that is where they are driven over, that is where they are shot or chased away or mauled by dogs. So we believe that baboons must stay out of the urban area, and therefore one has to have an integrated approach keeping them out of the urban area. So ma'am, thank you very much for the opportunity. Once again, I would like to stand down there. Thank you very much.
Chairperson of SANPARK, then the minister will come.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think I am somewhat covered, but let me just talk about a couple of things. One is that, as indicated earlier on, and I think Dr. Bart also talks about this when he talks about an integrated approach. When we deal with matters of conservation and also the management of conservation areas, the issue of working collaboratively as the spheres and in partnership is of paramount importance. That's why, through you, Honorable Chair, I indicated that there is a need for us with the new city leadership to sit down and look at and brief one another in terms of where we are, but also find ways of cooperating and working better between the two entities as we are required to do so. So I want to just reiterate that point. Secondly, Chair, with regards to what Honorable Singh has just raised about the need, I think there is on the one hand, there is the issue of the financial side of looking into concessions. And I think, as he has correctly outlined it from the Kenyan experience, and which is something that guides our own approach as South African national parks, that is not just the financial, the potential financial recovery that we get from some having some of these establishments, but it's also, I think, because we are a conservation agency, we make sure that we do things within the environmental prescripts and minimize impact as much as we can. So I would agree with the Honorable Singh, and that's what guides all our PPPs in our national parks. I will end it. I will leave it at that, Chairperson.
Okay. Before the minister, I'm going to give you a quiz. And when you meet a chairperson and the new leadership of the city, including the Cape Nation, then maybe next time when you meet, you'll be able to answer this question to say, how do you then know that this troop of baboons come from the park or they are coming from the provincial natural reserve? In essence, I want to understand whether you do check these baboons for identification purposes, but it's a quiz for next time. Minister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So I love your quiz. It's a really good quiz. I think, Chair, that Dr. Bart gave very good explanation that this process has to be handled in an integrated manner by all levels of government. And I think that we very much agree with it. What I want to suggest is that the fundamental problem we face here is that there is not only do we have our own complexities with regard to the management of baboons and different levels of government, but we also have significant civil society interest and involvement in this process. And the consequence of that is that we are experiencing a situation where the management processes are being pulled in different directions. I had suggested to the chairperson of the board, and I would like to make the suggestion here today so that this matter is further examined. I think what we need is we need a round table on this question of the baboon management. And we need to ensure that we also bring in the civil society organizations that are involved in this thing so that we can all try and get on the same page. Because at the moment, one is seeing, as I say, the process pulling in different directions. I think that civil society has an important role to play. I think the three levels of government have an important role to play. And we need to develop agreement on our approach to this human-wildlife conflict. And we need to develop agreement on best practice and the way forward. So that is what I would like to propose. We need this round table. And I think that if we have this round table, I think we could get, as the saying goes, a better deal for people and for nature. Chairperson, I think you gave good advice to Alderman Andrews. He's not a member of the committee, so I suppose this is not the forum for him to be raising questions with other levels of government. And I think your advice on this matter was good, and this will have to be handled in the bilateral negotiations. Chair, let me just say that I just want to make one plea to the city. When I convened the meeting, I think it was in January 2020 before lockdown, or February 2020, with all role players, it was a very well attended meeting, and there was enormous interest and enormous willingness from civil society to get actively involved in the management of the urban park. And that is why this forum is so critically important, because what it helps us to do is it helps us to get those who are interested in assisting with infrastructure, those who are interested in assisting with safety, those who are interested in assisting with conservation, actively involved together with all three levels of government. And I really would want to plead with the city, if you can fast track this process to come to your council meeting in May and not wait for June, that would be very good. Because there is a lot of commitment from the citizens of Cape Town to be actively involved in this process. And if we are to be consistent in the way we approach our management processes, we would want to make sure that just as when we talk about Isimangaliso, we talk about listening and involving communities, so we do the same when we're talking about citizens in the Western Cape. So that is just the three points I wanted to make briefly. But I think that as honourable members have stressed, this is a very important and iconic park. And one of the jewels in the Sand Park's crown. And I think that for all the reasons that have been stressed in this meeting, we remain committed to ensuring that cooperative governance processes give us the best outcome, both for the residents of Cape Town and for conservation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you. I think that exhausts our debate on this matter. And let me thank you, Chairperson of SANPARK, with the team. Also, thank you, Alderman Andrews, with the team. Thank you, HOD, from the Provincial Department, including our Dr. Bart from the Cape Nature. We want to thank you. We can excuse you as we proceed to the next item from the team, DPME, Mr. Mbolozwe and Dr. Mabuba. Can we hand over to you? And thanks for your indulgence and patience. Will attend to your issues, I can promise you. Who's presenting between the two of you? Mr. Mbolozwe.
Okay. Chair, my apology for hijacking. I know you have called Dr. Mabogwana. My name is Robert Bukura, the Director General. I was initially supposed to be in another meeting, but that meeting ended, so I joined in this meeting, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Dr. Mofan is, of course, the acting DDG for the branch, and we also have Mr. Zakele Mzanose to present. Chair, I wish to indicate that we like the way this committee has been engaging with us, because without fail, we've been asked to come to the committee. I think this is the one committee that has been very consistent in engaging with the work of the DPME. Now, what we're going to present here is coming in part from what we presented to Cabinet, and the Minister is obviously aware of some of the issues that we raised in our engagement at Cabinet. We also had a follow-up meeting with the DG, and we continue to engage with the department on some of the issues that require our respective attention. Chair, we are very interested in the performance of departments, and we get concerned when there are challenges, you know, in terms of performance, but it does not end there. We also work with departments to find solutions. One of the issues that we have seen across the departments, Chair and members, is our projects that involve various government departments. First, horizontally, there are always challenges that we need to unlock there, but there are also those that are vertical, where you find that there are intersphere issues that present constraints in the performance of government. So to the best of our ability, we'll then take you through the presentation, highlight those areas which lend themselves to the challenges that I have referred to, and also continue with our own recommendations as a DPME. Without much ado, I see we are chasing after time. I'll ask Zakele Mdlalose to then lead the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, DG, and we sincerely appreciate you making time to come out of your meeting to be with us. I didn't see you joining, my apology. I was still dealing with my earlier attendance register. Over to you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson of the committee, honorable members of the committee, senior managers from the departments, as well as the stakeholders that were party to this meeting today. I will try to be very quick and fast and cover the times that we might have missed. The purpose why we are doing this today is to provide an assessment of the environment and environmental forestry and fishery sector performance. Our approach, we have taken the outcomes of what is coming from the department using the 7 priorities of reporting by this government, and we have unfolded them into specific areas of reporting by the departments. Then we have looked at the MTSF targets, and we provide progress of the environmental, forestry, and fisheries sector for priority 2 and priority 5, recent one. And further to that, we have uplifted 2 areas of concern there. We've uplifted the issue of the just transition and the ease of doing business, which is quite topical at this stage and indicate what are the emerging issues in that regard. Then we will provide recommendations and progress in terms of what we have done to date, of which the DG has indicated on his opening remarks. As I've indicated, we're here to brief the Portfolio Committee on Environmental, Forestry and Fisheries sector performance. That is not only talking to Environment Department, but it talks to even other supporting departments across different sectors. Our approach, we are using a consultative and evidence-based approach in terms of reflection on the approach to the design of mitigation, to program performance and challenges, and interventions that have been put forward towards the achievement of the desired outcomes and impact from different sectors as well as from individual departments within the sector. This will be result-based management, and the theory of change remains the foundation of the impact-based planning, monitoring, and evaluation towards the achievement of developmental results. So when one looks at the outcome that all government departments should be looking at or making them as their answer to their program implementation, it is supposed to be informed by the 7 priorities of government. I'm not going to go through all of them. It's all known as capable state, economic transformation, education. But what is of key note is point number 8 there around the cross-cutting focus area or transversal priorities, which applies to all the priorities that are outlined above. That talks to women, youth, and persons with disabilities to say all of them must be responding to these 3 transversal issues whilst they are reported at the end. In terms of the outcome that the sector, environment, forestry, fisheries is looking at, we have taken the ERRP and say the ERRP has provided us with some specific pillars, and we also look at priority two and priority 5, and what are the key areas that are there of which the sector needs to respond to. Most of those covers the infrastructure development, of which this department has a lot of things to do around it, and a lot of work has been done around that issue, specifically around your landfill site and the report on the landfill site that the department is working on that forms part of the infrastructure that this department is looking at. As part of that, across all of them, they are talking of the employment creation, job creation, localization, industrialization, and development of the SME support, and it is cutting across. So these are part of the outcomes that the departments need to look at. It talks to energy security infrastructure. It talks to gender equality, localization. But part of that is around mass public employment intervention that is aimed at strengthening food security if one looks at the ERRP. Some of the issues have been raised around the land issues and the land allocation, which is forming part of that particular pillar. I'm referring to the almost the last bullet of the ARRP. And when one looks towards the extreme right of that one, the issue of environmental management and climate change, green procurement, on different introduction by the different honorable ministers earlier on, the climate change issues were raised and how are we witnessing the positive as well as the negative effects that talking to some of the areas of agriculture, some of the area of conservation and other related areas of which this department is looking at some stages. The issue that is also emerged is around the master plan development and implementation thereof. That has been raised. And the advice to the agriculture by the department in terms of the agricultural practice has been raised at some stages, of which those areas are covered within the agriculture and agro-processing master plan, of which going forward, the integrated approach to those needs to be forming part of the engagement that the executive team needs to take forward, bringing in different stakeholders which are having key responsibilities and how they are translating into direct implementation thereof. Those are the key outcomes that the department needs to look at. But what we have done, we have provided you with a snapshot of how these priorities have performed so far. With priority 2, was having 22 targets and having 10 of those targets in progress and 1 which is not achieved. Then that gained a rating of 66%. But out of all of them, the priority 4 is the one that has been performed far better than the others because it's sitting at 83% over and above all others. With a rating of red, looking at the less than half of the targets on track, amber with 50 to 74 targets on track, and green from 75 or more. Then in terms of what this particular sector, that is environment, forestry and fishery sector, key target that they set for themselves, they were looking at greenhouse gas emission with a target of 398 to 614 megatons of CO2 equivalent, of which they are within that range. The climate change issues started now talking to the 44 targets and 44 districts and 8 metros to be audited on maintenance of municipal infrastructure. This is quite critical, honorable ministers here. The issue of disasters as we are seeing emerging in KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and some part of Northern Cape on flood that has happened. Some of them are direct result of the work that is happening at the local government sphere around the maintenance of infrastructure and the resilience and readiness of those infrastructure when the times of disaster come. But the waste management is also part of what has been looked at, and it was indicated that at some stages the target, there needs to be a differentiation in the targets in terms of the waste that has been diverted. That is also talking to how the waste is diverted into different work, coming up with different products, coming up with different new industries. That is the issue that needs to be looked at. The lower demand of available waste as a resource, this is talking to the waste economy and how is waste is going to be used as important input to economic development. That talks to the demand and supply of that waste, the pricing of those waste commodities or recyclables, where are they coming from, and how are they going to be reintroduced back into the industrial operation. A just transition to low carbon economy is one of the areas that has been indicated. A lot is going to be said about that. The other key area that was part of those commitments was around 80% of municipalities with capacity to fund and implement climate change programs to address the issues of adaptation. In terms of how the different sectors has performed, how the sector has performed against that two, we have taken two key priorities. We have taken priority 5 and priority 2. Not saying priority 1 is not key to this sector, or other projects are not key to this sector, but for the illustrative purposes and analysis purposes, we have uplisted the two, which are very critical to the sector. That we have looked at priority 5 in terms of how this sector has performed. The priority 5 on its own covers spatial integration, rural economy, environment, human settlement, local government. That talks to the integrated approach as been indicated earlier during different engagement earlier on. But what is of note is that environmental management, which cover all those targets that we indicated above, have performed fairly well here because they are at 53%, which is the highest across all the other areas in priority 5. When it comes to priority 2, the issue of job creation, the issue of accelerated inclusive growth has been covered. But what has been performing better there is around the improved quality and quantum of investment, of which this department has got contribution to all those achievements that have been indicated in the slide on priority 2 achievement summary to date. But it should be noted that these priorities achievement for now, they are sitting at 38%, of which that is telling us there's a lot more to be done going forward, specifically priority 2, which talks to the economic transformation and related they are sitting at 32%, leaving us with a lot more to be done. Some of these issues are emerging on the discussions that have been said earlier on in terms of one, when one looks at how the spatial analysis or the spatial issues tend to change between different spheres of government and the need to respond to those differences, it is quite critical for that priority five. That is where we need to do more. We have also uplifted from the previous slide now indicating how priority five is performing so far. We did not put priority two here, but we have the information on priority two on the reports or detailed report that has been provided. But the priority five interventions are based on the five strategic areas. That is the use of spatial analysis and outcomes as a tool for socioeconomic inclusive development. That is where your issue of agriculture, food security comes into being. The spatial capability of where different land use zoning is supposed to be and how they are supposed to be approved using the existing approval process for permitting authorities within the government of today. The outcomes are to have the previously disadvantaged section of South Africa's community benefit from the development initiatives resulting from the spatial capabilities of different localities. The impact of such initiatives is to have equal society and development informed by the existing spatial capabilities as they are happening in different regions and districts of the country. The government programs, budget, and strategies for different parts of the country, districts, and regions should therefore follow the spatial capabilities and analysis to ensure development is meaningful, impactful, to meet the current and future spatial plans. The issues of how the baboons are managed in different parts of the country and the policies thereof has been discussed herein, which is one of the areas that can be uplifted and say how those spatial capabilities can be utilized for meaningful spatial development. The issue of the PPP and the development of the hotel in the part of Western Cape has been raised, which is forming part of the spatial capabilities and spatial transformation. This is therefore evident in five strategic areas of spatial transformation, that is human settlement, environment and sustainable development, rural economy and grand transformation, and local government aligned to the basic services areas. This has also been rated using the rating or the weighting that I've outlined before, 0 to 49, 50 to 74, and 75 and above to those areas that have met the target. Honorable members, I've indicated earlier on that we have uplifted the issue of just transition as part of what we are going to highlight as part of our presentation today. So far, the adaptation sector plans have been developed and implemented. As part of that, the sector emission targets and the nationally determined contributions have been approved and their implementation is in progress. Presidential Climate Change Coordination Commission has played a major role on issues of climate change in the country, and it should continue being a center in climate change coordination. The issue of coordination has been raised for quite some time, and it's been highlighted here again to say the issue of coordination needs to be made an anchor or a center to how we approach our activities. A just transition has got few pathways that has indicated to say they are focusing on with an aim of working towards net zero approach. That covers the energy and power, mining, petrochemicals and chemical sector, decarbonizing agriculture, forest and land use, transport sector, gas and hydrogen. A lot of work has been done from the ACIP cluster to deal with these or some of these issues. And some of the report like HISA SA with the DSI, that is Department of Science and Innovation, are at the advanced stage as we are speaking. For the completed plans, outputs and outcomes from the different priorities inform reporting on the following areas. Those are the areas that were covered in priority two, that is industrialization. How these are going to lead to industrialization? How are they going to lead to job creation? Supporting the SMME support and all other key pillars of priority two and its tools to get it done, like your ERRP. It also talked to the priority three, that is the skills development, or that is going to be required to have these achieving its intended objectives. The spatial transformation as part of that should be also looking at how these different pathways are going to be happening on different spatial areas as identified. In terms of what has happened around the just transition and industrialization, there are five climate change sector adaptation plans that have been developed. They are there to reduce vulnerability to risk associated with climate change. It has covered agriculture, biodiversity, human settlement, health and water. The issue of biodiversity has been a key issue in the discussion here today about the baboons in the Western Cape, and the report that the Environment Department has presented. So what has happened is that a just transition plan that covers the job sector resilience plan have been developed for metal, coal, petroleum, agriculture, and tourism, and they are complete. Several master plans have been developed, but what needs to be noted is that waste economy master plan is not yet developed, and a consultant has been appointed to start working on that. Started in December 2021. That is still in progress as we are speaking. What is now in place is the forestry master plan, which has been approved and in the state of being implemented, and ocean economy that has been rolled out for government implementation. In terms of the ease of doing business, the issues that becomes critical for the country to ensure that development is taking place, the environmental authorization has been highlighted as key to that. Last time we have indicated that the different authorization has given specific regulated time frames, and we have now worked on or assessed how the department that is responsible for these authorization perform against those regulated time frames. Starting with the EIA, which is expected to be completed within 107 days. So far, the department has managed to do 98%, which is closer to that 100% that is expected from them. The issue of the atmospheric air emission licenses within 60 days, the work there is not progressing well because they are sitting at about 38% within that 60 days. Waste use licenses, we're having the regulated time frame of 107 days, and they're performing at about 72% of what is expected. Water use licenses, 90 days, and SIPs supposed to be finalized within 57 days. The SIPs refers to the strategic infrastructure program. It's supposed to be done within 57 days, and so far, they are performing at 100% from the reports that we have been analyzing and picking up from the departmental reports. So in terms of the progress that has been made so far, it was indicated earlier on that a study must be undertaken by the DFSE on the options of centralizing just transition. That is aimed at giving account on the progress and performance of the just transition plan under their custodianship in terms of each plan contribution to A, emission reduction, economic contribution, and industrialization and localization, as well as how they are contributing towards providing or to provide developmental options using pathways as emerging from the work of the 4PC. then we are saying that the ministers of the key critical departments, including DTIC, DMRE, Labour, DPE, COCTA, DARAT, working with industry, must implement the existing sector-specific resilience to ensure that coordination is there, and also to account for the progress in these sectors. Develop and monitor the implementation of action plans to resolve backlog associated with water use licenses. It should be known or should be noted that Environment Department is not an authority that issues water use licenses, but it's the Water and Sanitation Department. So the sector, to perform well, this department needs to talk together in terms of how they are going to eliminate the issues of delays in the water use licenses, which are critical for the development in the country. The other area that we have been picked up was around the building capacity of concurrent provincial local government spheres. It has been raised earlier on about who's responsible for the baboons inside the park and who's responsible for them whilst they're outside, and the capability to be able to deal with those issues when they are within the sphere of government that is responsible for them needs to be built up without shifting the responsibility and say, that is your baboon, they come from your parks. So whenever they're outside of that park, they cannot be our problem because they've neglected or they came from your site. That is why the Honorable Chair was saying, a quiz to say how these baboons are tracked in terms of saying who owns them and their sources where they are coming from. Sector reports should reflect alignment to 7 priority reports. That, amongst others, include the Presidential Economic Stimulus Initiatives, the ERRP, Master Plans, and Just Transition Plans. And also indicate how these areas are going to contribute towards the required outcomes and impacts by the different departmental programs. What has been happening so far, or progress that has been achieved so far, that is my last slide, Honorable Chair. There is an ongoing engagement between the DPME and DFFE DGs, and they are looking at these following areas. The just transition centralization options, which is underway, and as part of the response to that, the just transition work has been currently housed at the NEDLAC, which is the response that the department has done. Just transition activities to date and expected outcomes of the Presidential Coordination Committee in addressing just transition framework implementation. Just transition is not going to be there in paper, but they need to be implemented, and the PCC need to see to it that those frameworks are implemented effectively. The enabling role of just transition to sector emission targets and nationally determined contribution. We are saying that transition should be a tool or a vehicle that is going to ensure that the SET and NDCs are met. The improvement plan for ease of doing business, especially on the AEL, as I've indicated earlier on, is underway. With our working group, two on AELs have developed an improvement plan which is en route to the approval by the executive. The issues of sector reporting and participation was elevated to the DPME to engage with those departments that are not providing their reports to the sector reports. It should be noted that if the sector targets are part of the work, some departments do not put their weight because that is not forming part of their APPs, and they leave it up to the coordinating department to see to it how they are going to deal with those issues. That DG's meeting have indicated those key areas. Amongst them was the issue with the water and sanitation on Woolas. The other was around the DMRE, which is not providing some of the report that is expected of them. That transition coordination and centralization accountability, there the issue is that the Presidential Climate Commission is currently considered as the mechanism to centralize just transition implementation. DPME and DTIC is developing a computerized master plan monitoring dashboard that we are working on for this particular department, we are piloting the forestry master plan to be used as our exercise, to be used for that exercise. Having said that, thank you very much to the honorable committee members, to the chairperson of the committee. That is the end of the presentation for today.
Thank you, Reverend. Thank you so much for the more detailed presentation. It's always exciting to hear from your side, because as I've emphasized earlier, your reports really assist us a great deal in doing our oversight. Having said that, colleagues, can I see a show of hands of colleagues who want to interact with the DPME presentation? Can I see hands? Thus far, I'm seeing only one hand. Maybe the others will come with some progress. Honorable Phillips, over to you. You can remove the presentation from the screen, Tatum Daluse. Daluse.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I have a question about the waste economy. I see that the KPIs haven't been met there, and I'm actually very concerned about the lack of progress in our waste economy, considering that it's leading to a large amount of pollution in our waterways. And I also noticed in the Kruger Park, in the camps, there's a serious lack of managing the waste that is produced by the visitors there properly. So I think that is something we really, really need to address very urgently. And I would like the department to present a plan to us of how they're going to be doing it. And then my second question is just about the EPWP jobs that are created in working on water, working on fire. The working on fire jobs are very specialized, and it doesn't seem very practical to use EPWP workers there unless it's just for clearing alien invasives. So if they can just clear up for me where the EPWP workers are used there. And then also the working on water. There was a project in Rustenburg that was actually a huge failure. We had a lot of people, EPWP workers, working there, clearing out the reeds. They stacked them on the side of the flay and off they went, and the reeds were left. They were not collected by anybody. Private residents actually had to make arrangements to go and collect them. But we've also had a number of instances where the EPWP workers have actually cut down indigenous trees instead of alien invasives. So I'd just like to know, what kind of training do these people undergo when they are used as EPWP workers in working on water and working on fire? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Phillips. Honorable Sim, over to you.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to DPME for that report, high-level report. I think it provides another avenue of oversight over the department, other than us as a portfolio committee, and something that we will have to monitor moving forward. Just following on Honorable Phillips on the question of waste management, when I read that presentation, I see you had a sentence there which said, lower targets do not allow the waste industries, and it stopped there. I don't know what you meant to say beyond that. You just said lower targets do not allow the waste industries. And I think, perhaps you need to tell us about that. And I would gather that your assessment arises from what the department gives you as part of its APP. And that's how you draw your conclusions. Am I correct in that? Thank you.
You, Honorable Singh. Honorable Brian, over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just very quickly, I mean, I think some of the targets that have been set, and I mean the overall sitting, I think 48% set. I know we are 3 years in, we've got 2 years left, and the last year of that is probably going to be a little bit chaotic with elections, etc., and all sorts of other things going on. You know, how confident are the officials that they are going to be able to improve and increase that percentage and get it as close as possible to 100%, you know, seeing as we're sitting at less than 50% at present? And then just in terms of the spatial integration of HEMA settlements issue, I mean, that's really low, 32% at the moment. What steps are going to be taken to improve that and get that improved going forward? I know, obviously, you know, you're doing the monitoring specifically, but I think it's important for the department to provide some answers there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Brian. Honorable Weber, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have one question, and it's also about the waste economy. My apologies if someone has asked this already, but the presenter talked about appointing someone to start with the process, and the process started in December 2021, and we're already almost 5 months later, and the person has not been appointed. I do think that 4.5 months or almost 5 months is a very long time to appoint someone to start something as incredibly important as waste management. Yeah, I will leave it at that for this moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Weber. I'm sorry for the background. There are people who are working, but yeah. I, for one, would like to commend the department for being courageous enough to identify the binding constraints in slide 13. And then what comes to one's mind after looking at those binding constraints is, does the department share your views of those constraints? I mean, our Department of Environmental, Forestry and Fisheries. Do they actually share your views as the MP, the DPME, on these constraints as reflected in slide 13? I'm raising this because to us this is very important, because unless we all agree that there is a problem, we are bound to pull to different directions. This I'm referring it to the two DGs. And then you further say, Mr. Mdalute, that the Presidential Climate Commission is currently considered as the mechanism to centralize just transition implementation, and that a study will be conducted in this regard. Will it not therefore be appropriate to first conduct a study to determine the appropriateness of designating Presidential Climate Commission rather than the other way around? So those are the issues, but like I indicated earlier, we joined the others to say, we appreciate the oversight role that you are also doing as a department for monitoring and evaluation. But those are the issues that one wanted to raise. Over to you, DG and Tim.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I will deal with some of the issues and then Mdalose will then check the rest. Now, in terms of the issues that we raised, as binding constraints, we observe that some of the issues are not new, and we are really worried because we are currently working on the fourth biannual report of the department, and already it's clear that in the next report we will repeat some of the issues that are raised there. So we've been raising these issues consistently, And we have now escalated some of the issues to the minister to intervene, our minister to intervene, because you can't have a situation whereby you report on the same constraints, you know, year in, year out, but there is nothing that is being done to deal with those constraints, particularly those that are structural. Something has to be done, as I indicated in the opening, that there are challenges that arise out of the horizontal configuration of the state, but there are also vertical issues. So, Chair, we take this seriously, and we'll ask yourselves also to really pay attention on how the structure of the state at some point becomes, you know, a constraint. But by and large, we agree with the department on most of the issues that have been raised in the presentation. There may be specific issues, of course, that require further interrogation. Now, partly on the PCC, we raised this issue in our engagement with the department because the PCC also came to see us, and there are things that we committed to do to assist the PCC, particularly when it comes to monitoring and evaluation. So there is work that we are doing on our side. The department is also coming to the party, but Zakela will deal with the specific question in terms of the study. On the West economy, we are also very interested in the issue of West economy, Chair, for the reasons that have been stated by honorable members, that we need to up the game. But then there is also a dimension of job creation. So when you look at the master plans, this is one of those master plans that can help us to create jobs. And if the master plan is not ready now, what it means is that we are likely to end the current term of this administration without any job having been created. So we will continue to engage with the department and ask the committee to do the same, you know, to follow up on this kind of intervention. So our view is very clear on this. Expedite this master plan. Let's agree also on the job targets that are going to be created, because up to now, when we report on the master plans, we only report on whether they have been finalized or not. We have not gone to the real issues and in the main around job creation. So we will continue to monitor this and engage with the department to see to it that it is expedited. Zakela will deal with some of the issues raised. On the question of Honorable Singh, on whether we just receive reports from departments and just come and rehearse them here. The answer is no. Partly we get reports from departments, including annual reports. We do look at those reports, but we also verify and seek evidence from departments. And evidence can be obtained in different ways. It could be in terms of documents. If you said that there will be a document produced, we ask for that document, particularly those documents that must go to cabinet. If it's infrastructure, we send people to go and look at that infrastructure, whether it has been constructed or whether it has been opened for operation. So we do our own validation as DPME, but still allow departments to also give us their own input. Now, Honorable Brent, I think your point is spot on, that things that are not ready now means that come 2024, we are not going to see results. We are likely to just come back here and report that this master plan has been finalized, this document has been finalized. So what we're trying to do as the PME now, we're working on the midterm review of the current administration. What we want to achieve through this review is to identify those issues or activities or interventions that can be accelerated so that come 2024, we have achieved something, so that we don't go to the people of South Africa and only report about documents that have been finalized. So we are seriously chasing after results as we engage with the departments. And this will be our major focus. What we have also done is to look at the APPs, the current APPs, and I guess we'll come back to ourselves to talk about the APP of the department. Whether the APP that we have supported as DPME really allows us to see results as a matter of agency. So in the discussion of the new APP, That's where we also highlight how we have analyzed the APP and how we see results being achieved. On spatial transformation, at the national level, we have finalized the spatial development framework. It is done after extensive consultation with various stakeholders within and outside a government. But what we are observing is that it's fine to have that national spatial development framework. What is key is to translate it into provincial and local spatial development frameworks and plans. The case in point is what we are seeing in KwaZulu-Natal, that spatial development issues have become highly contested in that space, including the role of traditional leaders. So what we want to do now, that the spatial development framework is being moved to the presidency from the Land Affairs Department, is then to pay attention to those areas in South Africa that are very risk averse, so that we can then go there and translate the national spatial development framework into spatial development plans in those spaces that are challenged. Chair, with your permission, I will ask Zakele to deal with the other issues that I did not speak on. Thank you.
Thank you so much, DG. Who's next?
Carlos.
Okay.
Thank you, DG. I think DG has covered most of the issues that have been raised, Honorable Chair. But maybe one has to just put the stamp on the response to Honorable Singh around the waste management low target. There, I think it was an error to miss the issue of saying if the sector has set a low target, it does not allow the industry to grow, because in terms of the demand and supply of these waste recyclables, they need to be driven by that. So if there is lower target set, then it would mean the industry uptake of that will be equivalent to the target set. But if the target is increased, it will then reflect it in the uptake by the industry of what is coming from the recycling industry to grow the waste economy. That is what one can respond to that. So the other area that maybe going forward needs to be looked at is beyond the APP. I've indicated at some stages to say that departments tend to look at their APPs and say, if a target or intervention goes beyond their APP, then they tend to ignore that, leading to some of the sector targets not being met. Therefore, going forward, we need to uplift the sector targets now to say within the sector, these are the key sector targets, as they are informed by the specific department's APP. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think most of what was said by the DG covered most of the response that I might be having. Thanks.
Okay, Chairperson, maybe with your permission, there were issues around EPWP jobs, training issues, and also working on water. Maybe if we could quickly deal with those.
The issue on working on water and that specific training on working on programs from the department, those are very critical interventions, Honorable Ministers. But the challenge as they are emerging there is that some of those people that are undertaking that work,
To reporting to ministers, honorable members.
Honorable ministers. Those EPW issues have been raised with the department to say how could we optimize those works. And on the areas where errors has happened, like the issue raised about Rustenburg, the department is advised to come up with the improvement plans as to how they are going to resolve those matters. It should be noted, however, that as part of this work requires integrated approach, honorable members. If one looks at the EPWP work, it's coordinated at a DPWI. And the NCA departments come up with their request in terms of how they are going to take that one forward. Therefore, the efficiency and the training focus coming out of this work tend to change with different requesting departments, which on their own are subject to the request that they made to DPWI, leading to that integration and synchronization of government work, both vertical and horizontal, needs to be focused and more streamlined going forward. The lack of progress on waste plan, waste master plan has been outlined. And its importance has been raised in terms of saying if that has been resolved, we are going to resolve the pollution issues on the waterways. Still, that boils back to the issue of integration. If there is a lot of waste that is generated in Kruger National Park and not properly managed, then that will require that an integrated waste management approach between the coal face where waste is generated to the point where waste is taken to needs to be synchronized and aligned. I think I've covered those areas. Or maybe the other area that has been raised is about how we are going to get to the targets of the MTSF if we are sitting at 48 and sometimes at 32%. The DG has indicated that through the midterm review, the issue of the improvement plans are going to be part of the recommendations that are going to be sent to the different role players within the sector, because some of those of the issues raised here are not sitting squarely with the Department of Environment Affairs, Forests and Fisheries, sometimes even covered by other departments outside DSFE. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you. Thank you so much, DG, in the President, DPME. My question on the binding constraints. DG Nkuna, I ask whether the department DFFE share your views on these binding constraints as illustrated here on slide 18. Because I was raising it, I've made an emphasis because unless we agree that there is a problem, we are bound to pull on the different direction. What's your reaction to that? Then I'll also ask the DG of DSFE to respond on what you put here. I don't want to list them, but you can see they are here on the heading binding constraints. Because this is
okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. The answer is yes. One, this report has already gone to cabinet, and these issues that are being raised already form part of the minutes of cabinet, as you know. So we presented to cabinet and to the best of our understanding as per the outcome of the engagements that our report in this regard was accepted. There was supposed to be a ministerial level meeting also to take forward this issue. So we take that by the fact that it went to cabinet, then we agree, because this forms part of the resolution of cabinet. But secondly, in the bilateral that we have with the DG, we agreed on almost all these issues that have been raised here. And the DG can also speak from a point of view, as you indicated. Our understanding is that we agree because these are already cabinet decisions, but the follow-up discussions between the DG and I indicated that we are also finding each other on the kind of constraints. Thank you.
Okay. DG Shabalala, you covered. By DG Nkuna.
Yes, Chair. I wanted to just confirm that we have had engagements with the DG, and we have also internally as a department, following the DPME analysis that was tabled at Cabinet, we have looked into all the areas that they are highlighting and where we require to intervene and also fast-track some of the critical programs that are informing the priorities. And as the DG is highlighting, we have presented to them on how we are approaching this, and we have agreed that it requires close engagement, especially where we have dependencies from other sector departments, like water and sanitation, DMRE, and so on. So I would just want to confirm that, Chair, that yes, we are working together and are in agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, DG Nkuna and Tim. It's always a pleasure to have you in our meetings, and we want to thank you for coming. We can excuse you together with the other team DG and your team department so that we can continue with the business of the committee. Sincerely appreciate your coming, all of you, DG, DFSE, all the time you are here. Minister, thank you so much. You can freely leave us so that we can continue with the committee business. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm trying to see people leaving the meeting so that yeah, then we can continue with the welcome. I should have welcomed you long ago, Honorable Mbata. I saw you coming. My apologies. And you've raised your challenges earlier.
Thank you.
You've been in the meeting for quite some time. I saw you coming. Then we have got two outstanding matters that we need to deal with. The draft committee report and the adoption of the committee report. We should have done it when we met last week, but because of time, we couldn't. I think we should consider the report as read, but I can just quickly go through with you. If you can put on the report on the screen, Jeleka, so that we go page by page quickly, bearing in mind that, yeah, then I'll just say, page one, if you were there, you were not there. That's the issue here, but yeah, let's deal with that. We had a meeting on the, it's not the minutes, the budget vote report, draft report. Yes. Yeah. Then the background, the usual stuff that you deal with, and then on the introduction is when we met as a committee, and then 2.1 deals with the overview of the department, forestry, fisheries and environment, the mandate, and then, yeah. Is there anything that you want to raise on page one? Spelling, error, whatever. Then I'll be checking your hands if there are issues that are raised. Then we can go to page two. Page 2.21 deals with the origin of suboptimal audit outcomes. Yeah. Go down. Then, is there any spelling error, language issues on, no? Then we can move to, I'm checking the end as well. Page 3, the legislative mandate, it's indicated there. Then also, yeah, page 3. Editing, I've gone through the report last night. Then go to page 3. Page 3 starts with the department, what the role of the department is. Then you go through program 1, program 2. Page 4. The any issue that I didn't see any as I was reading the report. Then you go to the next page, page 5. It continues with program 8. And then it deals with the linkages between the departmental priorities and the national development plan, the issues we're dealing with recently with the DPME up to the BT. Then your department starts at 3.2, bottom of page 7. Am I too faster than you, Chilek?
Anything for the team, Chair, I'm taking corrections from members.
Page 6, anything that you want to raise? Then we go to page 7, that's where we are now. That deals with the department, paragraph 3.2. 3.21, proceed to page 8, and then page 9, pie chart on page 10, and then go to page 11, dealing with the departmental discussions on the departmental strategic plan. Then the responses. Then you move to page 12, program 1. Can we? Can we then move to page 18? That deals with program 2 up to page 15, top part. Then you go to bottom of page 15, you deal with oceans. Program 3. And then it ends on the top of 17. Then you go to program 4, climate change and air quality and sustainable development. That ends on page 19. Then program 5 starts from for biodiversity and conservation. Up to the middle of page 21. Then program 6, environmental programs. They end on page 22. At the bottom is program 7, chemical and waste management. Ending on page 23, then start forestry management. That ends on page 25, and at the bottom, program 9, fisheries management. They go through down up to page 27 on bullet 5.9296. Then you deal with your entity 6.1, the South African National Parks. And then they are responsive on 6.11. And then 6.2, it's Manganese Wetland Park Authority. They are responsive that bottom 29 up to 30. Then 6.3 is the South African National Biodiversity Institute. Their responses end on the top of 32. Then the weather service. Then the critical issue is 7. Where is the responses for the weather service on 6.41 in Jamaica? What happened to them? That's one thing that I picked up. 6.41, Jamaica. Later, are you there, Courtney?
Yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow to do a text program.
It's a text program. We need to bring them in, you know.
But I have a copy of it on what I have. It can just let me get on.
You want to read it through the record or what? Or should we abandon it?
No, I'll get it. Continue on. I'll get it and then I'll read it to you.
And because we need to deal with the recommendations, just or, get it. Can we abandon this in the meantime so that we'll be dealing with the program as you're putting the matters here with you later on the report? Can we do that? That's the thing I was checking on my report. I need that one. Mm-hmm. Can we then in the meantime get the program? As you are finishing that one on the weather service. Can we get the program, please? As presented, can I get the mover and the seconder of the program?
I move, Chairperson.
Brian has moved, seconder for the program.
I second, Chair Gancho.
Oh, Gancho seconded. The program is thus approved. Then can we get, is Courtney winning on the other part of the report that is missing?
I'm looking for it. I edit it and I have too many files.
Can I propose that we deal with the minutes?
Yes, let's do the minutes in the meantime.
All right. Pleasure.
That part of the service is there in the minutes, definitely.
No, Chair, the minutes are the summary because the detail is in the report.
Page one of the minutes, anything? The minutes of Tuesday, the 19th of April.
Chairperson?
Nothing. Yes, Honorable Singh?
Chairperson, I'm sorry, I haven't been quite following because I'm preparing for the session now. I see I was marked as absent, but I had sent an apology to Chilega and I sent her a message yesterday as well, saying that I had apologized on the 7th of the month, indicating that I will not be available for the 19th, I think.
Okay, Mr. Singer, I'll fix that.
Thank you.
Any other thing? Next page. Then you must correct Gancho because the apology of Gancho is here. She is not there as well as absent, but in the minutes there was an apology recorded. Can you fix that? Because it was Honorable Singh and Honorable Gancho.
Yes, it's Honorable Kappa that I wrote absent.
Then let's proceed. Page 2, paragraph 2, briefing. Any issue to raise? Those that were in the meeting? By Ismangaliso. Agenda item, Chileka. Next page. That's the Sunday briefing. Then Sanfa briefing. Then page 5, 2.4 by the weather service. Go down. Then also dealt with the briefing by the department on the wildlife forum. Go down. Okay, those were the questions. Okay. You did with the responses there. And then this matter of the second term committee program, we postponed it, we since adopted it. There we go. Resolutions. I should think that's the end of our minutes. Can I get a mover in the second? For the minutes?
I'll move, Chair. Speaking.
Honorable Phillips has moved for the adoption of the minutes.
Second? I'll second Chairperson, Honorable Bryant.
Honorable Bryant has seconded. So our winning, we need to get into the house. 6 minutes to now. Scotland, Chileta.
Yes, Chair.
With the missing part of the report, can you read it aloud for us so that we quickly then go to recommendation?
Chair, the final version is with Prescott. Let me see if I can get him on the line and then I'll get back to you.
Chair, I got the reset of responses. I sent it to Chileka to cut and paste it there. The director says the South responded that the issued impact-based early warnings in various channels regarding the KwaZulu-Natal flooding and were also part of the National Disaster Management Center. In addition, we also made presentations to the Interministerial Committee. Point number two, there were also entities that were directly responsible for the mitigation of the floods, such as the Provincial Disaster Management Center. And the third final point on the failure to meet radar infrastructure availability, it was responded that radar infrastructure was expensive to procure and required an amount of $40 million for installation, and there was limited budget available. I have just emailed this to Chileka now. She suggests a cut and paste it onto the report, and then we can go through the recommendations for adoption.
Okay. Okay, Courtney, thank you so much. Ed, are you ready?
Yes, sir. We are pasting it and then we're going to project it now.
Okay.
Chairperson?
Honorable Singh?
I'm sorry, I have to leave now. I really have to leave because I'm the first item on the... Yes, member statements.
But the recommendations are read.
Okay, good. I read through them, they seem okay. But I'm just wondering, we have had nothing there on plastic, huh? Not part of...
It didn't come strongly on plastic day.
Yeah, at all.
It didn't come. Maybe you're thinking about another meeting, but on that meeting, plastics were not strong.
Okay.
You want to insert a recommendation?
I
thought we were going to take it further in line with our waste endeavor that we held. Remember, we're still going to even visit the site. Yeah,
okay.
Let's relate it in line with that. Remember the endeavor that we had, we need to have follow-up meetings. Let's leave it there.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah.
Thank you. Can I move on to the number of the recommendation? You agree with the recommendation?
Yes.
Okay.
I move, Chair.
Okay. Who's moving? And then Sing seconded. Mbata.
It's me, Mbata, that seconded.
Thank you so much. Can we
Chairperson,
go to the house? Yeah?
Sorry, Chairperson, can you just, can we just note that the three DA reps have abstained, but we note the report. Thanks, Chair.
But you note the report, but you're abstaining, right? So let me send formality. Singh, Mudisa, and Gancho, Mbata, Mkunu, yes, then the three GAs are abstaining. Noted.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Teleka, the report does get adopted with those abstainments.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get into the house at 2 o'clock? Thank you so much, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Cheerio.